أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقالوا يا أيها الذي نزل عليه الذكر إنك لمجنون. In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the desire that disbelievers have at certain occasions, occasionally, the desire that they too were Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the things that have kept them back and that are preventing them from coming into the fold of Islam. They simply cannot give up the luxuries, the lifestyles that they live, their eating, their drinking, and their fanciful dreams and hopes and plans in this dunya. In other words, it's the temporary life of the dunya that is holding them back from coming into Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayah number 6 of Surah Al-Hijr speaks of an absurd comment that the disbelievers made against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالُوا, and they have said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرِ, oh, you, the one on whom the reminder was sent down, referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would mock at him. You say the Quran was revealed to you and this reminder was revealed to you. Listen, you, on whom this reminder was revealed, إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ, you are certainly a madman. لَمَجْنُونَ. They've emphasized it. And then they say, لَوْ مَا تَأْتِينَا بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ, why can't you bring the angels with you? If you are a Nabi, why are there no angels around you? Why are you not supported by angels? Why do the angels not move with you? لَوْ مَا تَأْتِينَا بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, if you are amongst the truthful ones, then bring angels and move around with angels. مَا نُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, Allah says, they're playing around. They're messing around. We do not send down the angels. مَا نُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, except with the truth. Ya al-haq means, except on the occasion when it is time to destroy a community. Allah says, they're asking for trouble. They're asking for angels to come down. We will only send down the angels when it is time for the true punishment and the truth to manifest itself, what they are asking for. Only then do we send down the angels. That is what happened on Badr. They were asking for angels, asking for angels, asking for angels. On the occasion of Badr, Allah sent the angels, and the angels completely annihilated them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا نُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَ, we do not send down the angels except in truth. وَمَا كَانُوا إِذًا مُنْظَرِينَ, and then they will not be given respite. They are asking for the angels, and then when we decide to send down the angels, that is it. They will not be given respite. They will not be given time to live any longer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about the preservation of the Quran in the next ayah. Allah says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr. Allah says, certainly indeed, we have without doubt sent down the reminder. Allah refers to the Quran as the reminder. And what is a reminder? Reminder is something you already know about. If you have a flight and I remind you about the flight, you already have some knowledge about the flight. Which means that this is a reminder for you and I. It's reminding us of something we already know. We know of the Akhirah, we know of Jannah, we know of Jahannam. It's a reminder. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on repeating many things over and over and over again. Allah speaks of taqwa in the Quran over and over and over again, of Jannah, of Jahannam, over and time again. And when you keep on reminding somebody about something, when it is very, very important, if your child has a very important examination coming up at the end of the week, or every day in the week you are going to remind the child, have you studied, have you've got this important examination coming up, because of the importance, you keep on reminding. Allah keeps on. You'll find sometimes in one chapter five, six times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the same thing, to draw our attention to the importance of that which Allah is reminding us of. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, we have without doubt sent down the dhikr. This is one of the names of the Quran. It's called a dhikr, a reminder. Wa inna lahu lahafidun. And indeed, without doubt, we are the ones who shall protect it. Allah has taken this responsibility of the hifz of the Quran, the preservation and the protection of the Quran. Allah has taken up this responsibility on Himself. Allah is the hafiz. Allah is the protector of His book. Under the commentary of this ayah, Mufti Shafi'i Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, he mentions an interesting incident. He says, in the time of the Khalifa Ma'mun, he would often invite scholars and intellectuals of his city and beyond to his palace, and there he would allow them to have certain academic discussions, and the scholars would come, and they would offer different perspectives on certain issues, whatever else. So he says, on one occasion there was this very smart dressed Jewish scholar, Jewish person that came and attended one of those sessions. He looked like a very respectable person. And when he spoke, he was very eloquent in his speech, and he delivered a wonderful presentation. Ma'mun was quite amazed at this person, and once the session had terminated, he sent for him. And he told this person, are you an Israelite? He says, yes, I am an Israelite, I'm a Jew. So Ma'mun then presented Islam to him and asked him to accept Islam. He says, look, I shall not forsake the religion of my forefathers. And he left it at that. This person left the court of Ma'mun. About a year later, again Ma'mun has another sitting. And he invites different people, and he sends out a notice that this type of a program or discussion is taking place. That same person comes, but this time he's a Muslim. So Ma'mun is surprised. And after the session, again, mashallah, this person, the way he spoke and the way he presented his case and the way he had conducted his presentation was absolutely fascinating, but this time from a Muslim point of view. So Ma'mun again sent for him at the end of the session. He says, are you not that very same person? So he says, yes, I am the same person whom you had extended Islam to in the previous year. So Ma'mun said, but you were such a staunch believer. You were not prepared to even consider accepting Islam. And here you are speaking like a scholar and authority on Islam. What made you change your mind? He says, when I left the discussion last year, I decided to do some research. And I said, let me go to the sources. And let me test the authenticity of the sources. So he says, I took the Injil. I'm a scribe, by the way. I write, and I'm a scribe, so I took the Injil, and I calligraphed 3 copies, and I made some changes and additions in every copy. And I did the same with the Injil, and I did the exact same with the Quran. So I made small changes here and there. I took the Injil, and I presented it to the rabbis, the Jewish scholars. They had a look at it, they were impressed with it, they bought all 3 copies. I then took the Injil and I went to the Christian scholars and the priests. They were very impressed. None of them detected the little changes that I made here, the additions and omissions. And they also purchased it from me and they praised me for the wonderful work. He says, I went, let alone to the Muslim scholars. I went to the Muslims and I presented, not a single one of them accepted the Quran. Every Muslim I went to and presented the Quran to him, immediately they detected certain mistakes and additions and changes. As small as they were, they returned the Mus'haf and the Masahif, they returned the Qurans to me and said, we are not prepared to purchase these versions of the Quran. He says, then I realized that this book is certainly protected by Allah. And when it comes to the Injil and the Torah, Allah says there, بِمَسْتُحْفِظُوا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. The responsibility to preserve the Torah and the Injil, Allah says, I handed this responsibility over to the scholars of the Jews and the Christians. They were given the responsibility. Allah told them, it's your responsibility to preserve it and to protect it. And they failed miserably. But the Quran, Allah took it upon Himself. The Quran, Allah had taken it upon Himself. 1,500 years. Yesterday we spoke about sources of optimism. And this is also a great source of optimism for the Ummah. Again, in this environment of negativity, let us look for sources of optimism that gives us inspiration. Another source of great optimism. Look at every masjid and musalla, and even in people's houses and garages, Quran is being recited in the pristine original form it was revealed in the month of Ramadan. What a wonderful source of optimism that is for us. And a great source of optimism, and more important, that this is indeed the kalam of Allah. Let me attach myself to the kalam of Allah. In the month of Ramadan and beyond the month of Ramadan, from every angle, let me enhance my relationship with the Quran. This is divinely revealed from Allah. I often say this is the only part of Allah that we have access to. This is kalamullah. It's not a created entity. It's part of Allah. It's a sifa of Allah, an attribute of Allah that we have direct access to. So let us enhance it in different ways. My recitation also. Let me enhance my recitation with the Quran. Improve my recitation with the Quran. The amount that I'm reciting on a daily basis. Look, brothers, the objective of Ramadan is not to, you know, many people after Ramadan, everyone, after the month of Ramadan, they do come down and they do drop from that high spiritual level they enjoyed in Ramadan. Everyone. It's natural. In Ramadan, obviously, you're on a very high level of spirituality. Everyone after Ramadan does come down, right? The objective of Ramadan is not that you live your life the way you lived it in Ramadan. You maintain that high level of spirituality. That's not the objective. The objective is that you don't fall as low as you were in the beginning of Ramadan. So if in the beginning of Ramadan you were at zero with the Quran, you were at zero with Quran, there was no tilawah. In Ramadan you went up to 50 notches. Right, so in Ramadan, mashallah, every day you are reciting 10 pages. 10 pages every day. Now after Ramadan, you might drop. Don't drop right down to zero. Drop to 5, it's okay. And maintain 5 to the next Ramadan. So next Ramadan, you're starting at 5 notches. Can you see? And then next Ramadan, if you're starting on 5 pages, right, you'll be reciting 15 pages in Ramadan. After Ramadan, a few weeks after Ramadan, if you drop, you drop down to 10 pages. So every Ramadan, that's the objective of Ramadan. 5, 6 years, 10 years, you spend Ramadan like that, always improving. But the thing, the key, is that after Ramadan, don't go back right down to zero, where you started off before Ramadan. You can't maintain what you had maintained in Ramadan, but don't fall all the way down. So one thing that I need to come out with this Ramadan is my relationship with the Quran in terms of recitation of the Quran, in terms of improving my relationship with the Quran in as far as practicing on the Quran is concerned, and of course understanding the message of the Quran.